This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the NTFC Women's Podcast from It's All Cobblers to Me. The Cobblers women are still going strong in the FA Women's National League Division 1 Midlands. And today we're delighted to be joined by the podcast's very own sponsored player for the season. Please welcome to the podcast, goalkeeper Katie McLean. How are you doing, Katie?
Yeah, not so bad. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on. Pleasure to have you on. Been meaning to do this for quite a while to get you on as our sponsor player, but also just to learn a bit more about you anyway and talk about the season, how it's going. Wanted to start going back right to the start of your career to start off with, just so that our fans can get a bit of a overall view of what it's been like as your career has progressed and stuff. Just start off with how you got into the game, really. When did you first start playing? What did it look like for you when you started to get into the game?
Yeah, I mean, I started playing quite young. So I started playing football around the age of four. I used to play on my brother's football team, which was 2 years above me. And from there I played football in the boys game until I think I was about 13 years old. I would say I was about 8 or 9 years old when I decided to be a goalkeeper with that. Simply, you know, it's fairly common back then. I was the only girl in the team. And of course with that, the boys, you know, not always passing you the ball. You don't get as much of the game as what you'd probably want. And that's when I asked the manager to be a goalkeeper and, yeah, took it quite seriously, had a proper chat with me and sort of gave me the, you do realise what this means. You're going to have boys smashing balls at you and, not really looked back since then, to be honest.
Yeah, so is that something you kind of chose or was it something did they push you into being a goalkeeper as such and you just kind of thought, you know, I'll give that a go? Or was it more of a, you saw something on TV, you were watching goalkeepers and you thought, I'll have some of that and try and get in that way? Because obviously, you know, minimal opportunities for girls, I'm guessing, when you're growing up playing the game.
Yeah.
So was it a case of you just feeling like that was an opportunity for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you say, there was quite a lack of opportunities, especially at that age, that young. And to be honest, I think it was just kind of off my own back. Obviously, like when you're that age, you do a lot of rotation within the squad anyway, so everyone gets an opportunity to play in different roles. And I think I just sort of drove towards it and enjoyed it every time that I was selected to be a goalkeeper or in training when, you know, playing small games and stuff. I just really enjoyed it and took it upon myself to ask the manager.
Are you then going out your way to look at goalkeepers? Are you watching goalkeepers on TV? Is there anyone you're looking up to at this point?
I'd say early on, I mean, I wasn't all that familiar with goalkeepers in and around the Premier League, but I definitely growing up looked to the likes of like Joe Hart, Van der Sar, obviously a lot of the big names at the time. But yeah, it was more of a case of, my mum used to say it all the time, I was just like a pig in mud. I just love getting mucky. I love diving in. I guess a lot of the times a lot of people say goalkeepers, it's like we've got a couple of screws loose. You've got to have something not wiring quite right to shake your head at people's feet when they're about to pull the trigger. And I love everything about it, to be honest. Always have from a young age.
So you're kind of building up in, like, say, your brother's teams, a couple of age groups above you, like you say, going straight from under 16s, basically, to women's football, while you're still playing for your grassroots team at this point. Then you moved to Corby. Was it from Oxfordshire you started playing? You moved to Corby after that, is that right?
Yeah. So when I turned 16, jumped straight into women's football. From then, I was playing for my local town team, Banbury United. Mm-hmm. And from there, like you said, moved over to Corby. And that's when I started dipping around teams that are a bit further afield. And then obviously whilst I was at Corby, Northampton approached me. And that's where I began my first spell at Northampton.
So what does that look like at the time? Is it just literally a scout coming up to you at a game? How do you find that sort of thing out?
They reached out to me. Corby wasn't too happy. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those in football, if opportunities come to you, you've got to go and see what it's about. If you don't, there's always the question of, if I did, what would the next picture look like? I can remember I went for a few training sessions. Obviously, it was Gary that was the manager at the time. To be honest, I enjoyed it. It seemed to be better quality. Although it was the same league as Corby at the time, I felt like in training there was better quality, it was a better setup. And obviously Jack was there as well, which was exciting. You know, so someone with the experience that Jack has got in goalkeeper coaching, it looked rather appealing, and obviously took that jump. I think it was halfway through the season, made the move over to Northampton. And I can remember the first game I played, I think, for Northampton was actually against Corby, which was a bit awkward.
But what was the score? How did you get on?
I can't remember the score, but I know we won. I know we won, and it was a nice feeling. Certainly, yeah. One that makes you realise you made the right decision.
Yeah. And what's the Cobbs women's team looking like back then? Because you're obviously we're well established now in the FA Women's National League in the Division One Midlands, really well. Sort of establishing that after promotion a couple of seasons ago. What does the team look like now compared to how it was back then?
Massive changes, absolutely massive changes. I mean, my first spell at the club, it was still very much grassroots. You know, there was next to none interaction with the men's team. Yeah, it was all very minimal funding. You were kind of given what you got and sort of get on with it, make the most out of what you got. Don't be wrong, there's still improvements that can be made. I think a lot of women's teams can say that. I think it's still that, what I like to call the sacrificing stage. Some clubs are making big moves to invest more into their women's teams, and some are a bit more sceptical, understandably. But yeah, obviously, that comes with politics and the rest of it, and I like to stay well away from that sort of thing. But yeah, like I say, the quality as well, from the first spell to now, is a huge, huge difference. Mm. And it's nice. I think the biggest change is definitely having Josh and Liam there now as the management. They've brought a lot of quality. Nothing against Gary and Stephen at the time. They've done absolutely fabulous with what they got, and I think that's the most important thing, is making the most of what you got. Obviously, we had a successful season, I think. Can't remember, did we win the league that? We won the league that year, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think is it your first season you've won the league, I think?
Yes, yeah. Positive season that we did have, which just goes to show, like I say, even though you may not have all the resources there, we still grafted and got the job done at the end of the day.
Moving on to Watford then after that, from the Cobblers, whereabouts were they in the pyramid compared to the Cobblers at the time?
Yeah, Watford was tier three. They were in the Nationals Premier Division South. And yeah, it was out of the blue, just went for a trial. Ended up being on trial there for about 3 or 4 weeks. I got offered the position as the number one goalkeeper of the under 23 squad, which I was over the moon about, I'm sure you can imagine. Mm. Going from complete grassroots bottom of the pyramids throughout my career to jumping up to that level was, yeah, I'd say as close to a dream come true as I could have got at that age.
Yeah, it's amazing because they were training on the same training ground that the men use, the same gyms, yeah. The same kind of all the sort of stuff that comes with a men's, would it like flip between Championship and Premier League clubs. So that must have been incredible just to have that experience and to go into that environment.
Yeah, I'd definitely say the 2 years I was at Watford was probably what's made me grow as much as a player that I am today. Mm-hmm. The setup, like you say, was absolutely phenomenal. We were given the same treatment as the men. We had, you know, a team of physios. We had recovery rooms. There was, you name it, it was there. And I think something that opened my eyes a lot with Watford is the inclusion with the men's team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was elements through lockdown where there was the Black Lives Matter movement. We were all actually on a video call with Troy Deeney. And yeah, the fact that he was interacting with us, it showed that the men's team was there for us as much as we were there for them. And yeah, I think that was a massive part of being at Watford, is that it was just one big team.
Yeah, but were they kind of one of the first teams to start doing that? I mean, I know there's obviously loads of stuff going on in the background nationally as well during this time, during COVID times as well, of the change and the shift towards hosting Euro 2022, all of that kind of thing. The feeling towards the national team from 2019 as well was growing and growing and growing. Did you get the sense then that something big was just around the corner from your involvement in Watford and sort of playing at that level? Did you sort of get a sense of what was to come?
Definitely. I think, like I say, the inclusion from the men's team, it was the most I'd seen for a women's side on a personal level. And I think, yeah, like you say, it kind of opened a lot of eyes and made us realise that actually if more men's teams was doing this, and, you know, we're not asking for the exact same as what the men get. It's just that extra little bit that gives us the chance to grow more as a team. And like you say, the facilities that we were able to use at Watford, you know, literally the same gym, the same equipment. Obviously, we all trained in the dome. I think my time at Watford, it's weird to say, but it's the least ill I've ever been. And I genuinely believe that's because we were training inside the dome where you're out of the elements of winter months. To be honest, I think that makes massive changes. Although, obviously, it was in and around COVID, so there was times where players weren't there for obvious reasons. But generally speaking, I think training in the dome was probably one of the best things in terms of keeping players fit and healthy in that respect.
That's just mentally as well, isn't it? Just knowing that you're thought of at the same level as a men's team. Especially mm-hmm. that must have been a massive thing to all of you as a group, to be able to go in and to feel like we are equal here. Like there's that visual of just like walking in and thinking we're all part of this one club and we're all equal.
Yeah, that's the thing. Even walking around the training ground, I mean, we'd often bump into some of the men and obviously the staff on the men's side, and everyone was always so friendly. You were always made to feel welcome. I mean, I've seen other clubs where staff on the men's side or even players are around and they kind of stand off a bit as if to say, oh, you know, I don't want to get too involved in that. But yeah, it was a really humble experience being there. Definitely changed my mindset a lot as well.
Yeah, definitely. So you move on to QPR 2021. They've just been promoted at the time. What is it like to walk into a dressing room after a team had been successful the year before in promotion? Was that a daunting thing for you? Or do you kind of take that kind of thing with a pinch of salt and just say, right, I'm part of the team now? How difficult was that? Or how easy was it maybe?
I would say it, in a way it was easy, simply because I think from some players' mindsets, it was like, right, we're stepping into a bigger league, we're going to need players with experience of playing at this level. I know there was a few of us that went from Watford, and I think that benefited the team a lot. Some of the girls already knew some of the players at QPR, which obviously made it easier for us all to gel as a team. And I think the biggest thing is that I had the backing of the management. You know, they wanted to bring in a goalkeeper with experience, and obviously, luckily enough, I had that. So I kind of walked into the team almost straight away with a bit more of a leadership role than you'd probably expect a goalkeeper coming into a fresh team. And I love that sort of thing. I thrive off it. So yeah, it was a massive benefit for me joining that team at that time.
So last game of your first season, I'm not sure if you're involved or not. They played their first game actually at Loftus Road. Were you involved in that game, or were you around the team at that point?
I believe I was.
What was it like to go into like a stadium like that? Because this would have been sort of 2022, a couple of years ago maybe, that they're playing this and playing their first game and being part of something that's so special and so, you know, unique, to being a part of the first of something.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a great feeling anytime you walk into a big stadium. Again, I was lucky enough to play at Vicarage Road with Watford. I think that gave me a step ahead of a few players that were perhaps younger and not been in that experience. You know, it can be quite daunting the first time walking out of the tunnel onto a pitch that, you know, you look up and you just see stands and seats after seats after seats. It can be quite daunting, especially as a young player. So yeah, it was definitely memories to be kept up.
Nice. So you've won the league's player of the year in your second season before signing for the Cobblers. How much does that kind of thing mean to you, individual awards? It must mean a little bit, but in the kind of grand scheme of everything you've done in your career, to be recognised as the best player in a league like for the entirety of the season, that must mean quite a bit.
Yeah, to be fair, I'd say up until this day, that's the biggest achievement I've made in football. It's nice being recognised by your teammates and management and things like that, but to walk away with player of the league was, yeah. I mean, I can actually remember the phone call that Steve Quashy, when he rang me, I was actually at work out in the van, and he sort of said, "Have you seen your emails?" I was like, "What? I don't know. What are you on about? I'm at work." And he was like, pull over, have a look. And yeah, I was gobsmacked, to be honest. I guess as a goalkeeper, you work hard all the time, you put your body on the line, you leave everything on the pitch. And not a lot of people always see that. You know, you lose 3-0. Someone who wasn't there watching the game looks, you know, goalkeeper must not have done very well, or, you know, they've conceded a few goals there. But to actually be recognised by the oppositions for putting in that graft was, yeah, it was a good feeling.
Nice. Was there like a nominations for it? Did you have any inkling that you might win it, or was it literally just straight away you've won?
I believe it's based upon the amount of opposition player of the matches you receive throughout the season.
Okay.
And I'd had a couple of looks throughout the year on the FA website and saw that I'd picked up a few. But yeah, I had no idea that, like you say, I got the most out of the league. And if I'm right saying, I think I'm the first goalkeeper to have actually won that award.
Yeah.
It's there for every player in the league, not just goalkeepers. So yeah, a good feeling, definitely.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Obviously, the Cobblers then come calling you full circle last summer. Where is that phone call? What's that approach like? And how easy is it to make that decision to come back?
Yeah, it was quite funny, actually. I think it was in like 10 days. I had Zoe Boot and Jack both message me. So I know Zoe quite well through football. We've never actually played together, but obviously playing against each other, and we had a few mutual friends. So yeah, it was quite strange to have them both reach out to me. And I thought, oh, you know, Jack's there. I knew Jack was a great coach. And yeah, I think it was, in a way, quite an easy decision. Obviously, my circumstances had changed over the last few years, where I've now got a family, my partner and our daughter. So it was more of a case of I did want to find football a bit closer to home. And obviously, the reach out from Jack and Zoe, and obviously went to train. And I think it was actually at the end of the first training session, I had a chat with Josh and Liam, and I kind of, in a roundabouts way, made it clear as to the person I am within the football team. I wanted to know what they were looking for and what their style of play was, and, you know, what they're looking to achieve, the morals of the club, and everything just seemed to line up so nice. It was something I couldn't turn down.
You start the season with, you couldn't really have started it with a much more important game for the club, playing in a derby on the same weekend the men have had their derby game against that blue lot from down the road. Win 2-1. What was that like? Because the whole day, I was myself and Charles and our families were there watching the World Cup final with you guys in the clubhouse. Firstly, how was it to go out and play a game after that, after such a big build-up of that individual game that's going on a national scale, to then have to kind of switch your mind after the disappointment of losing the final for England to go and play a derby game for us? Because it must have been a really quick switch to have to go and do that.
Yeah, I can remember after that final whistle went and all of us went into the changing rooms, we all kind of sat down and said, right, this is our game now, it's our time, we need to switch off from that and switch on. To be honest, collectively as a group, I think we just did it. It's a strange one, it was. Like you say, to go from the energy, and I think everyone was a bit anxious throughout that game. Definitely a few sweaty palms. I think it almost done us a bit of good. I think it gave us a bit of fire in our bellies. So I think everyone would agree it was a tough one to take the Lionesses losing.
Mm.
I think they deserved more.
Yep.
And I think everyone in the women's game playing after that final wanted to go out and almost, in a way, do ourselves and our, sounds weird, but do ourselves and our country and our England teams proud. And
yeah.
Show that, you know what? We can all still do this.
Yeah, actually, it was a really nice kind of set up to the day itself, wasn't it? Because you knew up and down the country, all women's games were being pushed back to sort of later in the day to accommodate it. And it did feel like you went out there, for you guys especially, to go out there and put in the performance that you did. It kind of reintroduced the Cobblers team to a bigger audience and reintroduce them, like, okay, we're here at Ferny Fields. It's our new home. It's a derby. What a start to the season. And to go and win it as well must have been a great feeling.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love that win to this day.
What was it like in the second half? Because Peterborough, you've gone 2-0 up at half time. It looked fairly comfortable from the first half. And then they've just come back into it. And there was just a lot of, well, it felt like, as a fan anyway, there was a lot of nervy moments late on. What's that like as a goalkeeper when that happens?
Not nice.
No,
not nice at all. But yeah, in a way, I love high pressure situations. Definitely nerve wracking at times, but I have every faith in my team that we can pull out victories like that. And at the end of the day, we did it. And I think sometimes that's the important thing in football. It's not always got to be pretty. It's about who walks away with those 3 points at the end of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And thoughts on the season as a whole so far? It's a really good season again, sitting in fifth in the league as we record. Massive win against Notts County last time out, 6-0. You've had a few big wins over the season, edged out by Loughborough a couple of weeks ago, who were top of the league, which was such a tight game. It was so frustrating because I think you deserved a lot more from that game. And same goes for a lot of the defeats through the season. There's been a lot of close games, but then, you know, it evens itself out by the fact you've won some games 6-2, 5-0, 4-0. How have you felt as a team the season's gone?
I think the season's gone well as a whole. We've had a few patches. I'm not going to say they're bad patches. I don't think we've had any bad patches. It's just where perhaps for a couple of weeks, a few things haven't fully clicked or fallen into place for us, which happens. It happens with every team at different times of the season. But I think at this point in the season, we've all got fire behind us, and yeah, I think there's going to be some good results to come.
Yeah, how far do you think this team can go this season, next season? Where do you see yourselves pushing for?
I think we'd all like to agree we would like to push for promotion. I genuinely believe we've got that in us. There's a lot of the younger girls from the FEP squad that have started training with us more often, and some of them are really starting to shine and thrive off that, which is great to see. It's always nice to see younger players coming through, and especially at training, you know, some of us with a bit more experience are passing on that knowledge, and it's so nice to see them genuinely want to listen and improve. And I think with that, with the upcoming few seasons, yeah, I think there's going to be some positive changes happening.
Yeah, it's really good. And do you kind of feel it? I don't know if you've got friends or people who you speak with in other teams who you're playing against. Did you kind of get a sense that we can do more as a club in terms of funding, in terms of that kind of thing? Because I do kind of get the feeling from other teams that they do get a little bit more injected in them, whether it's because they're linked to a men's team, whether they give more or not. But do you kind of get that feeling as players that maybe the next step is to try and inject a little bit more into the team from the first team point of view?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to dip too deep into it because, I mean, Josh and Liam and a few of the other girls know my opinions. Mm-hmm. However, yes, I do believe there should be more done. There should be more interaction from the men's team. Smaller things like kits. We didn't have our new kits till quarter of the way through the season.
Yeah.
FEP girls, the younger age groups, they were all kitted out. Even now, some of us are still waiting for bits of kit to come through. It just does not feel good enough at the minute. And that's my honest opinion. I intend to have conversations at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's not something I do during a season because my focus is simply on upcoming games, leagues, cups. But yeah, I think there is some positive changes that do need to happen. It's not that we all want it to, because that's the sake of it. It needs to happen in order for us to keep moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. I think that goes for the whole women's game as well, doesn't it? In terms of it's not just us, it's a lot of teams will be in similar positions where, you know, where are we making that next step? Where's the next step coming from?
Yeah, completely agree. Completely agree.
On Josh and Liam, you mentioned them earlier. What's it been like to work with them? Because they're clearly passionate from the sidelines, passionate in training, I'm assuming as well. Seems to be injecting a culture of passion throughout the whole team. Like whenever we see the ball go off for a throw-in, the whole bench is up encouraging. Whenever you see a tackle being made by a defender, midfielder getting crunching in, there's a lot of encouragement coming from the side of the pitch. Is that a culture that they've created, or is it something that's kind of come from the players?
I'd say a bit of both. Josh and Liam have definitely had a big impact on that. I think alongside a few of our senior players, obviously there's sometimes a bit of an age gap between a few of them. And I think it's good to make it clear as younger ones coming through, if you lose the ball, if we're 1-0 down, it's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But we need the positiveness. We need the backing of everyone, the fans, you know, the girls on the bench, Josh and Liam, the rest of the staff. And I think that's definitely something over the course of the season we've worked on as a team massively, and that's backing each other regardless. You know, if you're not named in the starting lineup or in the squad, don't walk around training or on the game day sulking. Back your teammates. Be happy that they've made the squad. And, you know, same goes for the games that Holly's in goal. I back her 100%. I'm buzzing for her. And yeah. I think that's what needs to happen in a team, is for everybody to be on that same level. I do think, to be honest, we've lost a few of our players that we have lost through that. But at the end of the day, we're a team. We all want the same thing. We all want to win. We all want to thrive. But if players need to be dropped for that to happen, it's football. You know, it's one of those things. I've had it myself. It's not the nicest of feeling, but you don't want that to then impact what happens on that pitch for that 90 minutes. And I think, yeah, that has turned into something positive for us. Like you say, every tackle, every ball that goes out, we celebrate it, because you need to focus on the positive things in the game.
Definitely. It gets the crowd going as well, doesn't it? We come to watch, and I think we've definitely seen the step up in terms of the facilities this season. Mentioned it before, but Harpole was a great place to play football. All of the community there was great. But Fernie Fields, the Fernabow, as we call it on the podcast, it's just a step up. And that closeness you've got to the team, the fact we're paying to come and see you, to see you play, and that passion from the pitch and on the sidelines, it definitely communicates to the stands as well, because you get the opposition fans as well in the same stand as us, just like really rising to it as well. So it creates a really nice, fun atmosphere in the stands as well.
And you know, it's great for us on the pitch when that atmosphere is there, as much as away fans can maybe do our head in some of the time.
that drummer at Ipswich was I can imagine, was one.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious at times, but it gives you that extra bit when you're on the field, and you know, you're feeling a bit tired, you're feeling a bit, you know, a bit slow and a bit sluggish, that boost from the fans. And I think, like you say, that comes from us being at Fernie Fields. It's a fantastic ground, great facilities, I think it's got a really nice family feel about it there, which I think we all take from nicely.
Definitely. And what's it like to walk out at Sixfields as well? I know you've had a couple of games there now. March the 10th, it's just been announced on Wednesday that we're going to be taking on Sporting Kowser at Sixfields. That's the next one on International Women's Day. What's it been like to play at Sixfields?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, I played there, I think, once or twice when I was with Cobblers in my first spell. And yeah, to come out again on the pitch this season, it's a really nice ground to play at. All the staff that are there on game days, lovely, really welcoming. And I think there were the time that we played where it was a back-to-back with the men's game. That was a really nice environment as well, actually. That was a good day all in all.
Good stuff. Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, Katie. If I had to ask for one highlight before we go of your career, what would be the kind of pinnacle for you?
Have to be that 2-1 win over Posh on it.
There we go. Right answer.
I would say it on the podcast, but I'm sure there's people knowing what I'm going to say. But we'll have to end it on that one.
definitely have to. Anyone who's listening who's not come down to see you before, what would you say to them to get them down to come see you play at the Furnabell?
Do you know what? I'd just say give us a shot, give us a chance. We're all welcoming, playing a good quality of football. And I think if you come down, I think it'd be safe to say you get the itch to come back.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's one of those things, isn't it? You go once, you do keep coming back. It's a fantastic atmosphere. And Katie, hope you stay around for as long as possible to keep wowing us with your saves, your long balls upfield, which is one of the best goalkeeping kicks I've ever seen, I've got to say. It's one thing that I can't remember. I think... was it Damon maybe who we were talking to about who to sponsor, and they were talking about available players in the summer, and he was like, oh, you've got to do the keeper, she's great, she'll assist a few this season. And we saw you kind of against Loughborough going up there taking free kicks from inside the area. I'm hoping for an assist before the end of the season at least, or a goal even.
Yeah, I think I've already got about 4 assists this season. I can remember laughing with some of the girls that have got more assists than them this season, so I'll take it. Maybe a goal. We'll see.
We'll go for a goal then. We'll get Posh away, maybe. Yeah. Katie, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for taking the time to come and speak with us today. Pleasure to have you on, and pleasure to be your sponsor for the season as well. Where can Cobblers fans find you on social media?
I'm on pretty much all social media: Facebook, X, or obviously previously known as Twitter, Instagram. Just type in my first and last name, Katie McLean, and you'll see me there.
Good stuff. Katie, thank you so much. Really, really good to speak with you. All the best for the rest of the season.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone, for listening as well. Don't forget to check out the NTFC Women's social media pages over at NTFC Women for details of all the upcoming games. We'll see you again soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.